This morning it is our joy to come to our 24th sermon from the book of Galatians as we work our way through verse by verse, learning what the Lord through the Apostle Paul taught the church in Galatia and to all true believers everywhere. This morning our sermon is entitled, Through Love, Serve. And as we often do, we begin with the introduction that is on your handout, which says, many have referred to this Galatian letter as the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. Indeed, it is the single greatest biblical document concerning the freedom the believer possesses in Christ. As Paul taught, though at one time we were kept in custody under the law and were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world and were slaves to those which by nature are no gods, indeed now, having been justified through faith in Christ, we are redeemed out from under the law. Are you thankful for that? Amen. And are no longer a slave, but a son. Amen. Beloved, we have a newfound liberty in Jesus Christ, and it was for freedom that Christ set us free. No longer are we enslaved to the law of sin and death, but we have been granted divine liberty in Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself up for us. And let us never forget this, church. This freedom that we possess in Christ came at great sacrificial cost to him. The saying is true, freedom isn't free. The Christian liberty we who believe in Christ possess is most costly, for Jesus Christ purchased it with his own blood. Would you like to thank the Lord for his saving grace? Do you want to glorify Christ for his sacrificial work upon the cross? If so, then realize and live in and enjoy the freedom he purchased for you. In that, you will indeed glorify him. When I give my wife a gift, I am most honored and pleased when she enjoys it. Dear church, enjoy the freedom Christ purchased for you and granted to you, thereby glorifying him. No longer must you live under the external pressure of the law, which lays impossible demands upon you, which serve to convict you. No longer must you live under the shame and guilt of sin, for Christ has set you free, bearing the shame and guilt of your sin. Enjoy this liberty, and in so doing, you will enjoy, glorify Jesus Christ. Now, letter A. Thus far, as we've studied, Paul has denounced a great enemy of Christian liberty, and that is legalism. The legalists of Paul's day, the Judaizers, whom he refuted in this letter and many of his others, maintained that salvation was gained through one's meritorious works, specifically as one adhered to certain Old Testament laws. They erroneously held obedience not as a fruit of saving faith, but as an essential element of faith which merits salvation. And now today, letter B, in our text today, Paul denounced a second destructive enemy that stands opposed to true Christian liberty, and it is license. License. License, also known as licentiousness, or libertarianism in a theological sense, and antinomianism. Those things refer to that belief or attitude that one is completely free to think and do as they please without restriction. Those who are given to such license feel free to act lawlessly, in moral irresponsibility, in disregard for authority, and that without personal accountability. They believe it is their right to do as they please, even in violation of the will of God. In regard to legalism and license, Philip Ryken writes, this is a great little statement, whereas legalism demands responsibility without freedom, license grants freedom without responsibility. Both are deadly. Now, number one, this license comes as an attack against the Christian liberty on two fronts. Number two, firstly, it comes as an accusation made by those who adhere to legalism. Encountering the truth of Christian liberty, they raise the fear that if people possess freedom in Christ, they will act irresponsibly in violation of the will of God, and that those who teach such a thing are themselves lawless antinomians. No doubt, this was an accusation that was levied against the Apostle Paul and a notion that he here dispels by teaching what true Christian freedom is as it is experienced in the life of the believer. Then number three, secondly, license or licentiousness comes as an attack threatening true Christian liberty, as some erroneously see the doctrine as that which actually grants them license to sin freely without regard to the will and judgment of God. This, of course, comes as one wants to be saved and at the same time gratify their sinful desires. Again, Paul here dispels this notion by teaching what true Christian freedom is as it is lived out in the life of the believer. Number four, in our text this morning, Paul at once corrects both errors concerning license and, in so doing, he begins to apply the Christian's liberty to the Christian's living. As Barclay put it, to Paul, a theology was not of the slightest use unless it should be lived out in the world. Amen. True, our belief in God will affect us in our life and how we live in this world. As Paul has laid down the truth of the Christian liberty, so does he now define what this liberty is and how it is applied to the life of the believer. So at this time, I would like to ask our brother Lance Sloan to come forward to read God's word to us this morning. Just the one verse, Galatians 5:13, and then he'll lead us to prayer. When you found that text, please stand to your feet in an act of worship. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Galatians 5:13. Does everybody have it? For you who were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Let's pray together. Father God, we just worship you, praise you, and thank you, God, for this venue, this opportunity to come before you, Lord God, and today, as we worship, Lord God, we just pray that you would give Pastor Tim wisdom as he brings this word and this message about love, God, and that we would understand it and we would apply it to our lives, Lord God, and that we would live this example. Lord, we just praise you for and thank you for even considering us, Lord God, in this world. We just thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for knowing each one of us, Lord God, and knowing the intricacies of our lives, Lord. We just praise you and thank you, Father, for all the many gifts that you've given us, the blessings of this church, of these people, these pastors, Lord. We thank you in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Scratch your Bible.
You can take it. Amen. And may our gracious God add his blessings to the reading of his word. May the truth of this verse take root in our heart and bear much good fruit for his glory. I tell you, there is truth contained herein today that if we will receive it, it will change our lives. The Apostle Paul, dispelling the notion that the freedom believers possess in Christ leads to license, wrote, verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For you were called to freedom, brethren." Roman numeral 1, in an emphatic statement, Paul categorically affirms that believers, the brethren, are indeed called to freedom. If you are called to Christ, you have been called to freedom. If you have been called to Christ, you have not been called to bondage. You have not been called to condemnation, but in fact, you have been freed from bondage and freed from condemnation. You, brethren, are called to freedom. Letter A, you were called. Leon Morris writes, Paul does not see them as people who, of their own volition, decided to become Christians. They became Christians in the first instance because God was at work in them. God called them, amen, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined, and whom he predestined, these he also called, glory to God alone, amen. In contrast to the false teachers who were severed from Christ, fallen from grace, who hindered you from obeying the truth, whose persuasion did not come from him who calls you, whose leaven polluted the whole, and who individually would bear his own judgment, in contrast to them, you, dear brethren, you were called to freedom. While the legalists are bound in sin and want to bind you in sin, while they are under the curse of the law and want to bind you under the curse of the law, and as they only live out their days enslaved to a law by which they cannot be fulfilled, which they cannot fulfill and will be wholly condemned, that is not true of you. You who believe in Christ, yours is freedom. Many, many Christians don't see Christianity as freedom. Something is wrong when that's the case. Many see their Christianity as that which binds them instead of that which frees them. Let us understand what we have been freed from and freed to today. Here, church, as you were called by God to Christ, so were you called to freedom. Letter B, 2 Corinthians 3:17b. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And let me read verse 18 also. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Praise God. As we have been made alive in Christ, the veil has been lifted, and as we behold the Lord, so are we being transformed into his image. Now, I ask you, is Christ free? Thank you. A little slow there. The answer is quite obvious, and maybe that's why you hesitated. Maybe you thought it was a trick question. Is Christ free? The answer is yes. Then his people are also being transformed into his image. Beloved, if you are in Christ, you are free as Christ is free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 3:16, 6:19. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? 2 Corinthians 6:16. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. Beloved, you were called by the will of God to freedom, and where his Spirit is, there is certain freedom. Well, there are many kinds of freedoms. Roman numeral 2. What freedom is this to which we are called? And letter A. Here the word freedom is a definite article. You were called to the freedom, which is the unique, one-of-a-kind Christian freedom, a spiritual liberating freedom of which no other freedom can begin to compare. This freedom is the freedom that liberates the man from vain efforts at keeping the law of God so as to be saved. It liberates the soul from endlessly struggling to be good enough to be right before God. It frees the man from his sin's guilt and shame as the righteousness of Christ has been imputed him. And as Paul wrote in the first verse of the fifth chapter, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, what? Because it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. This is the temptation of us all. Having been set free to go back to those old things. And he says, hey, Christ set you free. Amen. A sovereign act of God. But now I have a responsibility, and it's to stand in that which he has granted me. Amen. God did not redeem us from the curse of the law only to put us under another curse. Christ did not break the chains of sin, liberating us from the enslavement of sin, only to enslave us with sin again. The prison doors are opened, and not so prisoners will be imprisoned again, but so prisoners will be free men and live as free men. But there is a problem here. When Paul says that God called us to freedom, some accuse him of teaching license, while others receive his teaching as license. Putting both errors to rest, Roman numeral 3, Paul instructs us saying, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. To take your freedom and to use it as an opportunity of the flesh is to turn. It is not to keep standing, it is to turn. Letter A. This is a very stern word by which Paul made it clear that he is not a libertine who advocates lawless living, nor that the spiritual freedom which he preaches is that which grants the believer unrestricted license to indulge in sin. Again, God did not set us free from sin so that we may freely continue in sin, as the apostle wrote, Romans 6, 1 through 5 and 15. Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be! Exclamation point. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Shall we walk like the old man or walk like the new man? Amen. Paul says again, Romans 6:15, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. Now how can you say Paul preaches license or gives permission to sin? In our text, the word flesh refers to the fallen nature of man, whereby man is tempted to sin. And the word opportunity is very interesting. It comes from a word that referred to a military staging area at which plans were drawn for battle and from which troops would go forth to battle. Letter B. Believers are commanded not to allow their newfound freedom in Christ to be that upon which the sin nature would capitalize, taking it as the opportunity to sin. Saying, as it were, oh, well, now that I am free from the law, I am free to sin. No, don't say that. Don't allow that to happen. Don't allow the old man, the sin nature, to capitalize on the freedom and take it for itself, because in doing so, it robs your freedom. Again, as Paul wrote, Romans 6, 12 and 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin will not be master over you, because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. But beloved, if you go back to sin, you're allowing sin to be master over you. To be in sin again, even after professing Christ, is to be again enslaved. Letter C. Whoever regards their freedom as the license to continue in sin is, in fact, not free. Jesus said, John 8, 34 through 36, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever, the son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. A slave of sin may enter into the assembled church, but he will not remain forever, for soon by his sin he will show that he is not a son, but one enslaved. As John the Beloved put it, they went out from us because they were not of us. But the true son, he remains. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not partially free, not free for a limited time, but free indeed. Therefore, this is on your handout, license is the very opposite of freedom and that which Paul would not teach. 1 John 3, 4 through 6. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. Family, licentious living shows that freedom in Christ is not possessed. I'll say it again, license is the very opposite of freedom. The beginning of legalism and license is essentially the same. Neither came from him who calls you by grace. And the end result of legalism and license is the same, eternal destruction. Since you, believer, were called to freedom, do not use your freedom as an excuse to indulge in the sinful desires of your old nature. You do not have license to sin. Christ didn't set you free so you could be enslaved all over again. He appeared not to perpetuate sin, but in order to take sin away. Letter D. The Christian freedom is freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. Well, did John MacArthur write, under the cloak of Christian liberty, some professed Christians claim they are free to get drunk, enjoy worldly amusements, feed their minds on smutty books, magazines, and movies, and live in almost unrestrained self-indulgence. But such a person gives strong evidence that he is not a Christian at all. Although a true believer may fall into serious sin, his renewed conscience and Christ's own indwelling spirit will not allow him to enjoy it for long. And he surely will not continually try to justify his sin as a legitimate expression of his Christian freedom. What a mockery to say, I'm free, I can sin. The spiritual freedom you have been granted in Christ is not license, for in license there is no freedom but bondage only, and that followed by condemnation. Do not allow anyone to teach you otherwise. Did you hear me? Do not allow anyone to teach you otherwise. If anyone, including myself, ever teaches you that in Christ you have gained the freedom to sin, then reject them and do them a favor and eject them. Jude 4 says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Listen to this, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. To turn the grace of God into licentiousness is to deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. What Paul said at the very first of this letter stands, Galatians 1, 8 and 9. But even though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And we have said it before, so I say it again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to which you have received, let him be accursed. Anathema. Well, since we were called to freedom, and we are forbidden to turn our freedom into the excuse whereby we indulge our sinful desires, then just what are we to do with this freedom? How is this freedom to be lived in, enjoyed, and displayed? What is God's purpose in granting us this freedom? For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Roman numeral 4. The Christian freedom that is granted every believer is to be expressed by every believer. Not some believers, but by every believer, not in self-indulgence, but through love and service one to another. The Christly freedom that is granted the believer by God through Christ finds its expression through loving others in acts of service. Jesus said, John 13, 34 and 35, and also 15, 12 and 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Now the new commandment that we love one another as we love ourselves, that's not a new commandment. That's been around forever. But here it's renewed. Even as I have loved you. So we have to ask ourselves, do I love the brethren and the sisters, the fellow believers, as Christ has loved me? Not just do I love them, do I love them as Christ has loved me? By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And we might say, well, if the opportunity comes, I'll give my life. No, that's not what's being said here only. Will you, on a daily basis, moment by moment, lay down your life for the brothers and the sisters? Will you lay down your life in giving up your desires for their desires? Will you lay down your life in giving up your best for their best? Will you lay down your life by giving up your bitternesses and your anger and your resentment and loving those whom you have resented? Will you lay down your life? In his first letter, the Apostle Peter wrote, chapter 1, 22, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren. Did you hear that? Since you have, in obedience to the truth. What did they do in obedience to the truth? Purify their souls. Why did they purify their souls? For a sincere love of the brethren. Since you have done that, fervently love one another from the heart. Family, are we, in obedience to the truth, purifying our souls for the purpose of loving the brethren? That's the place we got to start. And if we are, then we need to fervently, actively, with power and love, love one another from the heart. It's got to be sincere. John the Beloved wrote, 1 John 4, 7 through 12, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God manifested his love to us by acting, by doing something, giving his Son. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And we might say, well, I don't have that kind of love in me. Well, does the Spirit of God live in you? Then you do have that love in you. You're denying him. Letter A. Now, in Christ, we are freed from the sin of hatred and the sin of self-seeking and the sin of prejudice and the sin of gossip and the sin of backbiting and the sin of dissension, being made free then to love one another. Why don't we love? Well, I just don't like that person. Oh, you've got sin in your heart. Well, you don't know what they said to me. That's beside the point. What did Christ say to you? That's the point. Yeah, well, you don't know what they did. They offended me. So you have an offense. Have you gone to your brother, like the Bible says, and made it right before you bring your offerings to the Lord? Beloved, we have been freed from sin for this purpose, that we might love one another. Sin kept us from loving one another. Surely, as Christians freed from sin, we're not still caught by it and bound by it and not loving. Letter B. In this verse, the word love is also a definite article. It refers to the unique, one-of-a-kind love of God. It is that divine agape love. So then, the Christian freedom is expressed in that divine love that actively seeks to do and accomplish what is best for its object. This Christly love is patient. And we might say, well, I have a hard time being patient. I'm rather impatient. Oh, but you've been freed from impatience. You're freed from it. Christ saved you, not so you could remain impatient. He freed you from it. This love that we are to love one another with is patient. It is kind to others. Well, sometimes I have such a hard time being nice. I noticed that about you. Why aren't you nice? Wasn't Jesus nice to you? This love is not envious of others. Why would we envy someone who gets an inheritance or someone who gets a new car or someone who does well in their business? Or why would we envy them? Why? That's not the love of God. I'll tell you why we would envy. Because we're still harboring sin. But family, we were saved and freed from that sin. This love does not brag, and it is not arrogant. It does not act rudely. It is not self-seeking. It does not seek its own will and good. Therefore, it's not easily angered. When you're not seeking your own will and your own good, you're not going to be angered over everything that comes along. You're not going to say, life just isn't fair. This love does not delight in licentiousness, but with truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. This love never fails. Church, the freedom we have gained in Christ is to be lived out through love. And how are we to express this unique heavenly love? We are, through love, to serve one another. Letter C. The word translated serve is the same which is translated servant and slave in other parts of this letter. The Christian liberty is not displayed in selfishness, but in selfless service. Hendrickson writes, here in verse 13, note the paradox, freedom, serving. A paradox indeed, but not a self-contradiction. For such service is voluntary, from the heart. Oh, we were enslaved, but now being free, we choose to serve. Here is the true Christian freedom that you have gained in Jesus Christ. You are freed from sin and freed to lovingly, voluntarily give of yourself in service for the goods of others, and not for a select few, but for all of God's children. He does not call us to love one another except for a few. Love one another. This is something that we could not do when we were enslaved to sin, for then anger, bitternesses, prejudices, jealousies, all enslaved us. But now, church, we are free from sin, free from the burden of the law, and free to love. Encouraging the believer to love, Paul exhorted, saying, Philippians 2:2-8, be of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of us regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. This is what we're called to do, to empty ourselves. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave. If you got bondservant there, that word means slave. They just tried to tone it down for you a little bit. Taking a form of a slave and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This, church, is what we are called to. Not that we have to humble ourselves and have to be slaves of everybody else because we want to be a Christian, but because Christ has set us free and given us this freedom, we can do it. And this is what he's given this freedom to us for, that we will do this thing. It's what he did. We're to follow him. Consider the Lord at the Last Supper on the night of his arrest. The Son of God, God very God, the most worthy one, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He, the sovereign, all-powerful one, King of kings and Lord of lords, in freedom, in joyful freedom, expressed his love voluntarily by making himself as the lowly servant. He was everything but the lowly servant, and that's what he made himself to be. Family, and he takes his robe and he uses it to wipe the feet. And in that same way, he died on the cross so that our sins would be transferred to him. Jesus said, Mark 10:45-45, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. I ask again, is anyone freer than Christ the Lord? are any more powerful, more worthy to be served, and yet he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. Why? Why did he do this? Did he have a need outside of himself, or even a need within himself, that he should do this? And the answer is no. He did it because he is truly free and with nothing inhibiting him. No divisiveness, no hatred, no prejudice, no offense, with no sin inhibiting him. He, through love, served. And this Christ has freed us, and so is our liberty found and expressed in this, that through love we serve one another. Letter D. Oh, we do not serve one another as those under the law, who serve under compulsion, who serve the letter of the law but miss the spirit entirely, who serve to merit salvation for themselves, and that then with ulterior motive. But we serve voluntarily because we love our Lord and have found serving him through lovingly ministering to others to be our great joy in him, by which we also emulate him and thereby glorify him. James Boyce wrote, "It is ironical that, having urged the Galatians not to become slaves to law, Paul should now encourage them to become slaves of one another, for that is what the verb translated serve means. It is a paradox, but the paradox is instructive. Believers are to be slaves of one another, though this slavery is not at all like the first. In fact, this is the paradox. It is the Christian form of being free." He's saying the Christian form of freedom is slavery one to another. Slavery to sin is involuntary and terrible. A man is born into sin and cannot escape it. Slavery to law, which comes by choice, is foolish and burdensome. On the other hand, slavery to one another, as is born of freedom in Christ, is voluntary and a source of deep joy. As Boyce said, this is the paradox. Love expressed through service is the Christian form of being free. I ask you, are you free? Or are you still hung up in sin and legalism, which keeps you from experiencing your freedom through lovingly serving one another? Are you free? Or even as I talk, all the walls coming up, and you're saying, I can't do that. That wall was torn down in Jesus Christ. It shouldn't be there. Are you enjoying the freedom which Christ has granted you? Or are you plagued with frustration, guilt of sin, and burden of law? Are you through love joyfully worshiping the Savior by serving one another? Beloved, receive Christ's forgiveness, receive his freedom, and then live like a free man, that is, through love, serve one another. Have you been set free? Yes? Then this is how you are to express your freedom. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Will you, dear Christian, whom Christ has set free from sin and shame and burdensome law, will you now exercise your freedom not in self-indulgence but in selflessness, glorifying God in your body through loving acts of service from the heart? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Could it be, and the answer is yes, it is, that some of us, to one degree or another, for all our acts of quote-unquote Christian love, are actually doing nothing more than merely acting. Serveth without really loving, serving with ulterior motive, serving due to obligation rather than love, serving because it is a command of the law rather than by our voluntary, obedient, and joyful expression of freedom whereby we worship Christ. If this is the case, then we have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. We might actually fool some of those we serve, but we'll never fool our God. Let each one of us examine ourselves to be sure that we truly serve each other through love motivated by freedom. Christ has set us free so that when the other fails to love us in return, we will, through humble love, serve them yet. It doesn't matter whether they love you or not. It matters whether you love them. Christ has set us free so that when we hear a word of gossip, we will in turn turn from the sin and minister love instead. Christ has set us free so that when one comes to us with a harsh word, we will find it our joy to answer them softly so as to heal their wounds. We are free to love. We are free to heal. We are free to show grace where forgiveness is not deserved. We are free to heap kindnesses upon those who would despitefully use us. We are free to turn the other cheek to those who would strike us. We are free to bless those who would curse us. Christ has set you free. Live in his freedom, and there then will be heaven on earth. We who are saved by grace through faith in Christ possess a heavenly freedom, not by which we are granted license to sin and injure ourselves and others, but by which we are freed from our own sinful hang-ups, freed from our own bitternesses, from our own frustrations, from our own feelings of inadequacy, so that we will gladly worship our Lord through love, voluntarily serving one another. In this one verse of Holy Writ, Paul has denounced two errors. The error of the legalists who would accuse him of teaching license, and of those who would believe that his freedom teaching actually grants license. And he denounced both of these negative errors by teaching positively that the freedom to which believers are called is expressed through love, actively serving one another. Closing. Here is true Christian freedom, the ability to do the will of God, to joyfully conform our will to his. Before we came to Christ, we could not do this. We might have pretended, but we could not conform, and therefore we could not love. Here is true Christian freedom, not self-seeking, but through love, joyfully and voluntarily seeking to serve the other for their highest good. And as we continue to grow in this truth, so will this congregation be a community of believers who continue to grow in their glorification of God. Beloved, as we love like this, as we express our freedom in this way, I tell you, we will glorify our Lord more and more and more, because we will conform to Christ's image more and more and more. Is sin blocking us? Let us repent of the sin and turn from it and know we're freed from it. Is immaturity what we're stumbling over? Well, then let's grow up. Let's learn, let's grow, and let's act. Beloved, you are free to love. Your ship was anchored by sin and legalism so that you couldn't set sail. But Christ has cut you free from that anchor, not as giving you license without sail or rudder, but as with spirit-driven sail and word-directed rudder, you are free indeed, set free to love and serve. So may we do that. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us an example to follow in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and gave yourself for us, setting an example before us. And we realize that our calling is a high calling, for we are to be holy just as our God is holy. At that, Lord, we realize we cannot do that unless you cause it, unless you take up residence in us. And then we know, Lord, as we have come to you in faith, you by your Spirit have indeed taken up residence in us, so we are able to live in the manner that you have called us to live a holy life just as you would have us. Oh God, help us to realize what we have been set free from legalism, from the bondage of sin, from license. And yet, Lord, let us balance that out and realize what we have been freed to. That we have been freed to love, and to love through service, that we might serve one another, even Christ as you have served us. May we realize today then, Lord, that we do not serve because we have to. That would violate the Spirit. But we serve because we desire to glorify our Lord. And whereas it wasn't our joy, now it is our joy. Whereas before we resented serving, now it is our great privilege to serve. Whereas before we would hold a grudge, now it is our great honor to forgive. To free ourselves from the grudge and to free the one whom we held the grudge against. God, let us begin to apply these things to our life. And Lord, with, 100 people here this morning, oh God, I ask by your Spirit that you would work in each one's heart individually. And that you would speak to each one of us, and that we would begin to apply these things even before we leave this place. We pray that our heart is good soil, and that your word has taken root, and it will bear much good fruit to you. You are a most wonderful God. We glorify you. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.